church today? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I feel good. Water's good, isn't it? What am I doing wrong? Sheila, stand up and tell me something.
You already know.
Say it out loud anyway. To God be the glory.
The Lord is able, and I appreciate all your prayers. God answers prayer. My cancer on my kidney is shaking. He's able.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Wow. I did know that. That's why I feel we've got to tap in. We've got to tap into a power source. Man, you ever tried vacuuming a floor with a vacuum that's not plugged in? You just kind of push that thing and pull, and you say nothing's picking up. And you plug it in, and the motor comes on, and the thing spins, and it sucks air, and everything. It just works better if you're plugged in. And we try to live Christian lives of good morals. Nothing wrong with that. We try to read, and we read, and we say, well, I'm preaching my sermon ahead of time. Tap in to the power source. And you know, I remember years ago going to college, and Econo Foods, anybody ever go around Oskaloosa, there used to be a thing called Econo Foods. And we would go there, and like, you'd be going in the door, and somebody you did not know would say, aren't you a student at Vinard? And you go, yes, I am. They'd give you money. And you just go, because we didn't have money. I was in college. We were broke. And other kids would hear those stories and say, nothing like that ever happens to me. And I'd go, you should be asking yourself a question right there. I'm going to share something today in just a minute that I feel like God told me to say on the way up here. It's not in my sermon, but it comes from a verse in my sermon. And it's a little bit of a kind of a cliche that people say that is a misnomer. It's incorrect theologically. And so I just feel very strongly that I'm supposed to share that today. And then I'm going to preach a message, and I need to get with it. What did I just say? I have to go on. I have to go. I have a saying, apparently. I don't know it, but other people count how many times I say a certain phrase in a sermon. I got to move on, something like that. I got to go. I better get going. So for the last two Sundays that I preached, we had to take a snow day in there, but for the last two Sundays that I preached on focusing on God, meaning looking. Today I want to preach again, still on focusing, but now focusing our attention, okay? So if you can't see God, listen for Him. If you can't see God, listen for Him. I love stories, and this one just popped in my head. I went and watched my grandson play basketball last night. He's 11, and he's sort of a superstar, and he acts like it, but he makes crazy shots. He threw one up last night, and he said he did it on purpose. He said, I knew exactly where I was. But he was turned completely away from the basket, in the air, spinning, and threw the ball, and it went in the basket. And he's a nutcase when it comes to that. He's 11 years old, but he reminds me of his daddy. And his daddy was probably not anywhere near 11. His daddy was probably 6. I know I've told this story, but I was night security at Vinard College, which meant I had to go and check all the doors on all the buildings to make sure they were locked. And one of them, if you know the campus at all, way on the back was called the Music. It was MV. It was spelled like Greek letters, but I had to go out there and check those doors. And he would go with me sometimes late at night. And then I had to go down and at the boiler room, I had to go and just look inside and make sure the boilers were fired. And he said, we were in the parking lot of the gym. And he said, are you going down there? And I said, yeah, I got to go check the boilers and make sure we have, they heated the entire campus. He said, I don't want to go down there. And I said, okay. So there was a street light that lit up the parking lot. So I put him right in the middle of that light. And I said, just stand right here. And I'm going to run down. I'm going to check on the building. And I'll be right back. You won't be in the dark. So I went and was going down the hill. And all of a sudden, I felt a hand come into my hand. A little hand. And I looked down. I said, what you doing, bud? He said, I'd rather go with you in the dark than stay back there by myself. You may not always see God, but if you put your hand in His, He's there. He knows where He's going. You don't even have to know where you're going. Just walk with Him. Was that was worth coming to church for. Don't let me get excited. If I get too excited, I jump stuff and run and it ain't all that good. So, plus I'm not as coordinated as I used to be. Let's go. That's just a lead in. You won't always see Him. Listen. He's talking. Okay? Take that home. Just take that home with you and you've got it. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Jesus said to them, and this is where I'm about to veer off again. If God were your Father, He's talking to Jewish people. He's talking to Jewish people. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. The key verse is verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? If you don't see God, listen. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of them. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. Wow, Father, if your word is like a piece of meat, that was a porterhouse. That was a big inch and a half thick ribeye, marbled with much goodness. Help us comprehend your word. Help us to have that understanding Jesus is talking about. Bless us today for having made the effort to be in your house. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the key verse, which I wrote obviously earlier, is, why do you not understand? He put that as a question mark, like it's on them. Why do you not understand? Because you don't listen. That's you don't understand because you don't listen. So the original title for this sermon was going to be, sometimes we would be better off blind. Do you see what I'm saying? It's because we're trying to, that's not a physical thing, that's a spiritual thing. Sometimes we'd be better off if we were blind so we could not, you know, they say this, I'm not blind and I never have been, so I would not say anything crazy, but I hear and read and understand that blind people's other senses seem to expand to compensate for their lack of sight. So like a blind person will say, they know who you are, and they go, well, I'm used to your footsteps. I heard you coming. I don't have to see. Their sense of smell is magnified to compensate. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying spiritually, sometimes we'd be better off blind because we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. See what I'm saying? Now, I've been talking about focusing on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Spiritually, we're making metaphors out of these words. So today, leaving the metaphor of our vision on Christ, we're talking about our understanding and focusing. Have you ever said to a little child that you're telling them to do something and they're not doing it, and you get their cheeks and you turn them and go, focus on me. And you really don't mean look at me, you mean listen to me. See, for the last two Sundays, I've been saying focus on Jesus more in 2024. Well, it ends the exact same way. Focus our attention. Focus our listening more in 2024. Now, okay, I'm going to go off. There's a little girl, she's grown now. She's half Korean. She's a little Asian girl. She walked up one night. All through the sermon, she had not been listening to me. She'd been drawing. And she drew a picture, and I have pretty large ears, but in her picture, they were about 7 inches tall, sticking straight up over my head. And it was a dirt path, and I was on it. And she goes, here goes Pastor Chapman down another bunny trail. Because I was pretty prone to chase rabbits. That's what I called it. I would chase rabbits. And then periodically I would actually get one. Boom! And I'd come back. So I'm going to chase a rabbit very, very briefly. Please do not get your feelings hurt if you said this little phrase. Well, we're all God's children. Have you ever heard people say that? It's cute as it can be. It's just warm and fuzzy. Kind of like lint in your pocket when it first comes out of the dryer. That's a warm fuzzy. Warm fuzzies aren't really of any value to me. Because that's not what the Word of God says. You heard it when I read it, right? John 8, and it was 44, I believe. You are of your father, the devil. Before Jesus, before you know God, he is not your daddy. Now, where I come from in Tennessee, that was a big deal. We would say, yo mama, and who's your daddy? That's how people talk. That was normal talk for us. And you insulted people based on who their parents were, or you elevated them based on who their parents were. See, the whole point of the Christian faith, and it was back in Romans 8. We've been going through Romans. And Romans chapter 8 says that we have the spirit of adoption. Adoption. You're not naturally a child of God. You're naturally a child of the devil. You have to be adopted into the family of God. Wow. Some of y'all, I know, understand adoption better than some people. I get that. You know what adoption means? You know, I have two kids. I've mentioned them. I have a daughter and a son. At the hospital, you get whatever they bring out, and they say, here, she had it. It's yours now. It sort of made light of that, didn't it? But in adoption, you say, I choose you. I want you. I'm taking you home because I love you. That's really cool. And that's really what God does. He comes to us looking for us because we're not by nature. Well, let me just give you a verse. I should get on to a scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. Look up so I know how many fingers I'm holding up. I just wish I knew where it was. Here, this is hard. I'm dropping into a verse right here. But it says, well, I'm just going to start in verse 1. This is Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, you're not born a Christian either. I heard a debate one day that and John Wesley was the debater. John Wesley wrote this. If two sanctified believers have a child, shouldn't they be saved automatically? You know what the answer to that is? No. No, they are not. Be nice, but they're not. Because we're dead in trespasses and sins, in which all of us once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. We are not by nature children of God. We are by nature children of wrath. You just need to know that today. Now, people say, well, but we're made in the image of God. Okay. I'm not debating that. I'm simply giving you a little more thought on that. Okay, I am going to preach. But it's short. My sermon's super short. It's getting shorter by the minute. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea and the birds of the air and fish and every creeping thing. God, Elohim is that word there in Hebrew, and it means, we don't understand this, but it means God in plural. So he speaks to plural. He says, let us make man in our image. He's talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit at the same time. I'm not going to teach on that this moment. What I wanted you to hear was, God said, let us make man in our image. And so we say, I'm made in the image of God. Well, see, you got to keep reading. And you get to chapter 5. And here's chapter 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind. So when the Bible says man, it does not exclude women. Men and women, male and female, are mankind. So when it says man, it means everybody. Verse 3, Adam lived 120 years and begot a son in his likeness after his image and named him Seth. What was Adam's image? Fallen, sinful, the way all of us have been ever since. So I want you to leave here today, and I want you to know in your mind and in your heart that if you have not been adopted into the family of God, you're not in the family of God. Did you just say amen? I heard one amen. Okay, so that means I'm going to repeat it and see if you say it again. You ready? We're looking for some amens here. If you have not been adopted into the family of God, you're not in the family of God. Amen. You are by nature children of wrath. Your father is the devil. And he's talking to Jewish people. He's talking to Jewish people who thought they were in like Flynn. And he's going, no, you, Romans chapter 10 this morning, you have a zeal for God, but your knowledge and your understanding are not proper. You think you're earning your way in by keeping the law. Christ is the end of the law. Romans chapter 10, plain as day. Christ is the end of the law. Now, preach a sermon here in 12 minutes or 20. Could be a half an hour. This is not about seeing now, but listening. We're back to topic. you do not hear me because you don't listen to me. Verse 43. Why do you not understand? Because you're not able to listen. It wasn't that they were not able to listen as in they couldn't hear. They wouldn't hear. They were rebellious. Their father, the devil, was telling them, don't listen to that guy. Don't listen to him. And they were listening to the devil. Now, I'm applying this verse today to people who say, well, I read the Bible and I don't understand it. There's a problem there. You know what Jesus said? I think it's in John. It's either John 14 or 16, one of those two chapters. You can find it really quick. Jesus said, and when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will teach you all things. He will bring to remembrance the things I taught you. And he, the Holy Spirit, will continue to teach you. He's called a counselor. He is the teacher. He is the convictor and the convincer. The work of the Holy Spirit goes on in us today. So if you don't understand the Bible, I got a simple question. Have you asked God to help you? If any man lacks wisdom, James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Do you know what that means, upbraideth? It means he doesn't get on to you, and he doesn't say, what do you mean you don't have enough knowledge? Ask me and I will tell you. So if you're saying, I read the Bible but I don't understand it, so guess what? People quit reading it. That's a good place to say amen. Practice. People don't understand it, so they don't read it. Amen. Then they say, I just don't get it. Amen again. That's right. You don't get it because you aren't listening. Not my opinion. That's what Jesus is telling these guys. Jesus says we have a lack of understanding, and it may be because we are in denial of what we see. Is that possible? I used to hear things, and I'm a skeptic by nature. Don't believe anything you read and only half of what you see. You ever heard such a thing? Everybody's heard that, right? That creates skepticism. So people say, I see it, but I don't get it. There was a man, John 3:1. There was a man sent from a man of the Jews, a ruler of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. I don't know how far I was going to go with that. Oh, 1 and 2. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher. Listen to what he said. We know you are a teacher sent from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Listen to what Nicodemus said. We see what you do, but we don't believe you're it. Do you see what Nicodemus said? Nicodemus said, we see the miracles. Jesus said one time, if you can't believe in me to be the Messiah, believe because of the signs. Believe because of the miracles. You see, but you don't believe. That is still true today. That lady just stood up and said, I have a tumor. They're really not doing a lot to treat that, are they? Infusions. God is not only the creator of our body, he's the sustainer of our body, and he's the healer. When she stands up and says that, y'all clap almost spontaneously at the same time. I didn't say, hey, let's give the Lord a hand. Y'all just started clapping. You see, she just told you, you believe it. You're seeing something happening. Are we given God? Do we understand that God is in charge of all this? We see it, and yet we can't believe it. Too many miracles. I've seen way too many miracles for me not to believe. I just have to believe. So maybe we're listening, but we're not listening to the right thing. That's point number two. Maybe it has to do with who we listen to. Verse 44, and this is the verse that I referred back to, and I'm condensing it. It won't be the whole thing, but you can follow along and you'll see. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. When he speaks, he is a liar and the father of it. If you're listening to daddy, and daddy is telling you, well, you ought to do what makes you happy. Let me give you another cliche, and I'm not going to get this verse, I don't think, but I'm going to take a shot in the dark and tell you it's in the Bible. Women, I don't want to get on women, but do you know how many mothers I have had tell me, I just want my girl to be happy? I don't want to say anything derogatory. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Happy is an emotion brought about purely by the immediacy of your circumstances. You can be happy one minute and bawling the next. I got a six-year-old granddaughter. She's a female. Y'all know bribery will get you everywhere, right? She don't like to even go to school. She's only in kindergarten. So grandmother and I, lovely grandmother, we bribe her. And we said, if you do good and you get up and go to school like you're supposed to, we'll take you over to that pizza ranch and take you back to that fun zone and let you play games. Well, she went a whole, and then 2 days of snow. But she went really good for 2 whole weeks, as much as she went. And so last night, guess what it was? Payday. Payday, Grandpa. I took her back there, and she said she wants to hit the thing, she wants to throw at the clowns, and she wants to do the crane that picks up hoops of points to get more stuff that comes from China and isn't worth a penny. But that's a whole nother issue. So I paid her, just swipe, bam, just swipe. She couldn't get it. She said, her older brother, let him do it. I said, you want to do it, Hunter? Yeah. Swipe. Boom. Wah! She busted out crying. He's 14. I couldn't do it. Hunter got it on one try. She cried. She went from happy to crying because her circumstances changed. And he gave her the points. It wasn't like he took them. He gave them to her, and she still cried. Men, if you ever see a book written by a man that says, I understand women, don't waste your money. He's nuts. Let me move on. See, it's what are we listening to? And our father, the devil, oh, I didn't give you the verse I was thinking of. I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 6, but it may not be. But it's in the Bible somewhere. And it says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If you're going to quote it right. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. God knows your heart. You don't know your heart. We don't know our hearts. God knows our hearts. And if it's not there, it's somewhere in the book. That kind of hit my mind late. The question is, what noises distract us from seeing Jesus? We have all this stuff screaming at us, and sometimes it screams so loud we can't see Jesus because what we're listening to. And he says, you remember Elijah? That's a great text for this. God said, get away from here. He ran for 40 days and 40 nights, went to Mount Horeb. Bible trivia, what's the other name for Mount Horeb? Come on. Did you say Sinai? Yes. Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb in Saudi Arabia are the same place. Saudi Arabia. That's where Mount Sinai is. Can't do that. He ran all the way down there, went in a cave, and God said, I'm going to pass by. Listen, there was a huge earthquake. Rocks were split, rolling down the hill. And Elijah said, God is surely in the earthquake. Crickets. Then there was a fire, and fire raged in the door of the cave. It was just fire. And he said, surely God must be in the fire. I remember the story of Moses. Moses saw a burning bush. I got a burning mountain. Nothing. Then a tornado came and blew through the valley of Sinai. The valley of Sinai ends at Sinai. And he said, the Lord of the tempest speaks. Then a still small voice. Do you see what God was telling him? Don't always listen to the loud stuff. Get alone, get quiet, and let me whisper something to you. Wow. That was worth coming to church for too. Because we chase the loud. We let the loud dictate. Sometimes it's a still small voice. What are you listening to? Wow. And I like to say, speaking of Moses, you can't have a burning bush. Elijah didn't get a burning bush. That's not how it's always going to be. Take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy. Man, does everybody not want that? I want God to come, and I mean pillar of fire by day or night and cloud by day. And I don't want there to be any doubt. And God says, trust me. Hold my hand. Walk with me in the dark. Trust me. Wow. You got to listen for God. You got to listen for God. Here, third point. God is talking. If we're not hearing, what does that say? John 8, chapter 47. Very pointed. He who is of God hears God. Hears his words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. Now, that's a very judgmental statement, but I'm not making it. Jesus made it. Jesus said, God is speaking. If you're not hearing him, there could be a reason. Maybe you're not his. Wow. So we've discussed three areas of our lives that define our relationship with God. And one of those is just being a good listener. Being a good listener. So, I'm going to give you 3 points. These are the last 3 points. This is the end of the sermon. You remember early on, we said, you've got to understand that we are not by nature children of God. We're not all God's kids. It's cute as it can be. It's just not biblical. So if somebody says, well, I know they're living in sin, but you know, we're all God's children. See, you see where that goes? Then everybody's in, and everybody's not in. We studied this morning about 5.5 billion people are not in. Not in. 2.5 billion Christians. We're outnumbered 2 to 1 plus a little. Everybody's not in. So we're not all God's kids. Listen more than you look. We might have offensive eyesight. We might be skewed in our vision. We might be seeing things that aren't correct. Listen. God will talk to you, and God will tell you the truth. I don't remember. It might have been in Sunday school. You know, I have a lot of issues with, like, signs and wonders, because, I love miracles. I've seen miracles. I see people's lives that are miracles. I love it. But you cannot say, I got a miracle from God. He told me, and he told you something that's not biblical. See, God's never going to tell you something. And this, years and years and years and years ago, there's people who said, We are going to do things that some people might think are sinful, but God's told us it was okay. Can I tell you? That wasn't God. That was not God talking. If you get some sort of message that God is giving you a, can't remember the title of those things, permission ahead of time. Johann Tetzel was his name. He sort of invented, oh, an indulgence. Thank you, brain, for suddenly kicking in. Do y'all know the word indulgence? Do you know that word indulgence? You could purchase an indulgence from Johann Tetzel and everybody around him. This was in the 1490s, probably up to the early 1500s. They were raising money to build a church. They were raising money to build a church. Isn't that amazing? And so they sold indulgences so that you could sin, but you could pay ahead of time so that it was pre-forgiven, so that even if you died in the act of committing said sin, it was okay. Just pay us the money. You think that's good? You think that works? That is not in the Bible. Does anybody know the church they built with it, with that money? Does anybody know the name of the church? It's still sitting there today. St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City. That's how they raised the money to build that church, was selling sins, indulgences. I've studied too much. That's what I've determined. I've studied too much. Who needs to know that? You need to know that. You need to know that. You can't buy out and live in sin and walk with your daddy the devil and think God's okay with it. I got to move on. I did not say I got to go. Don't say God isn't talking, because he's talking. If you're not hearing, what does that say? That's a repeat of the point. What does it say if Jesus said God talks to his own? God talks to his children, and you say, I don't hear him. Then that's got to say something to us this morning. Maybe you're not his child. On the way up here last night, it's pretty late, and God had actually told me to do it a couple of different times, and I didn't do it because I don't want to in any way give a guy false hope or thoughts that are mine that are not mine. And pretty late last night, God said, send that text. I also sent it from John chapter 20. I don't remember the verse, maybe 8, where Jesus, they were alone, and some of them had heard, you know, the women came. This was the resurrection Sunday. And they were alone in the upper room for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood in the midst. That's the verse, first verse I sent to the guy. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, peace unto you. And they were scared to death. They said, we're next. We'll be dead by morning if they find us. We're going to die. It's over. Our leader's gone. Blah, blah, blah. They were listening to the wrong voices. And Jesus had to come and dispel that darkness. Jesus came and said, peace be unto you. And all that other noise ceased. If you go on and read that, I believe, right in there, it says they were overjoyed, but some did not believe. Jesus was standing there. They could see him. And it says, and some did not believe. You go figure that one out. I'm going to tell you, if right now an image appeared right here, and it was a man, and he said, and he had nail holes right there, everyone in this room would be a believer. Don't you think so? Instantly, he did it, and they still did not believe, and they saw it. So when I say focus on seeing Jesus, you got to be looking for Jesus. And so when I say focus your attention on hearing Jesus, you got to be listening to Jesus. Third and final point. Don't say God isn't talking. Don't say God isn't talking because you don't hear him. Admit why you don't hear him and fix that. That's the sum total. When you hear God clearly, you see God clearly. When you hear clearly, you see clearly. And then he directs us. So what do? We focus on Jesus more in 2024. We look for him. We listen for him. We pay attention. We grow in the knowledge. Luke 2:52. Somebody quote it. Luke 2:52. Favor with God and man. You were really super close. And you might have said that. I can't hear you too good either. Y'all know that verse, right? Luke 2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom. Why do you think we don't need to grow in wisdom if Jesus did? Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. He physically grew up and in favor with God and man. Not all men. Not all men. Everybody's not going to like the message you preach. You preach. Say, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. You're preaching something. What you preaching? Jesus. Your life will preach something. Preach Jesus. You say, I don't know if I'm good at it. Focus more on Jesus, and you'll be better at it. Let's stand together. What do you think? If we're really, really good, we're going to beat the Third Reformers to the buffet. Man, I've had a good time today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go in the peace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost all who put their trust in him. Go in peace. Amen. God bless you.